1 Chronicles chapter 14. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees, masons and carpenters to build him a house. David perceived that Yahweh had established him king over Israel, for his kingdom was exalted on high. David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David became the father of more sons and daughters. Well, of course, we wonder why he does this when God's clear intention in the Garden of Eden was one man, one woman. The fact God made roughly the same number of men and women in the world indicates really that polygamy, that's having more than one wife, is not his intention at all. So I don't think we can say this is a good idea on David's part, but he does it. And God appears to bless him and work through it. So I think you see there that God does at times make concessions to human weakness, that he does at times allow people to do that which is not ideal. It's like Israel wanted a human king, and God said, well, you're rejecting me. But, all right, they insisted on it, so he gave it to them. It's the same with the father of the prodigal son giving the prodigal son the money that he asks for, even though he knows he's probably going to misuse it. God will allow us to go, really, the way we choose to go. And he will always keep trying to work with us, though, to bring us through to his kingdom. But some of our choices may make the way harder. So David, I think, failed in taking more wives. But the problem is he set a bad example to Solomon. He took relatively few wives. He did take more wives. But Solomon ended up with 600 wives and 400 concubines. That's pretty well 1,000 wives, which was absolutely ridiculous, and many of them were Gentiles. And he probably justified himself thinking, well, my dad had more than one wife. And so the example that is set by parents is really huge to children, both positively and negatively. But of course, if the children come to believe in Jesus and in God and his word independently, well, then they are going to forge their own relationship with God, and they're going to do what is right and become a new creation where all old things are passed away, where it doesn't matter who your mum and dad were, good or bad, believers, unbelievers. You are made a new creation that is absolutely unique and independent of all that was in the past. Now, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, they went up against David. David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" Yahweh said to him, "Go up, I will deliver them into your hand." So he's humble. Although he'd beaten the Philistines many times, he doesn't get lifted up in pride and think, I always win when I fight the Philistines. He humbly asks God, well, should I? Should I go and fight them? God says yes. So we must never assume that God is going to bless us. This is one of the problems, assuming that God will bless me. And when Jesus said that you should pray every day in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," I think he was concerned with that same tendency to assume that I will have my food today because I've got it stored in the freezer. I've got the food in the house. But no, we are to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," so that we do not assume and presume that God's blessings will continue, but that we realize it's all of grace. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David struck them there. And David said, "God has broken my enemies by my hand." So he gives all the glory to God. God has done this just through me. They left their gods there, and David gave commandment, and they were burned with fire. So that's what you've got to do with temptation. Just get rid of it, destroy it. If he hadn't destroyed them with fire, they might have remained and been a temptation. The Philistines again made a raid in the valley, and David inquired again of God. And God said to him, "You shall not go up after them, turn away from them, and come on them opposite the mulberry trees." So again you see David's humility. He doesn't presume that, God's going to give me victory. He asks again, "Should I go and fight them?" And God changes the approach this time. He says, "No, don't go straight for them. Turn away from them as if you've been defeated And then, like a dog turning around and coming back on its victim, he says, "And come on them opposite the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." Well, I think that sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees was the sound of the armies of God, the angels marching. And God tells David this because he wants to teach him that you cannot assume and you cannot presume that, God gave me, for example, victory over the Philistines every time I fought them, he's going to do it again. No, he wants him to realize that, no, every time, every blessing is unique. And so only when he hears the angels marching forward must him and his soldiers march forward, to make them realize that you're only winning this because God is with you. David did as God commanded him, and they struck the army of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. The fame of David went out into all lands, and Yahweh brought the fear of him on all nations. So I think because of that, and because God loved him and didn't want him to be lifted up in pride, that's why he just varied the approach this time with the Philistines. Just keep David realizing that it is all of God's grace, and it's of him working through me.